Good afternoon, and welcome to Thought Patterns. My name is Jason Trachtenberg. I am your host for this hour on Radio Free Brooklyn. The show is called Thought Patterns. Thought Patterns. Entering and exiting, coming and going, giving and taking, in one ear and, as they say, out the other. In one ear and out the other. There it goes again. Thought Patterns. I am your host, Jason Trachtenberg. I'd like to wish everyone a wonderful rest of the weekend before it even gets going. Today's topics will include news, views, sports, and weather, and traffic, together, on the fours. 4:44 is when we'll do sports, weather, and traffic together. Most definitely everyone's favorite fluffy part of the show. There'll be stories. I'll tell you a story. There'll be some songs. I'll sing you a song. There'll be some poetry. There'll be some prose that goes and goes and goes and speaks for itself. There will be jokes. I'll tell a few. As far as I'm concerned, these are all thought patterns, but what I really want to talk about today is something that has been getting a little bit of attention off and on the radar. And it's a subject that we launched here on Thought Patterns about maybe 3 months ago. And we decided in the Thought Patterns creative unit that meets up, a little while before each show, that we would just launch the idea that I'm about to explain to you, and then just kind of see where it goes. And then we're actually going to do a full-on presentation and explanation about this, full-on media launch, the whole thing, probably before Thanksgiving, also known as National Vegetarian Day, although apparently National Vegan Day has already come and gone, but I've been proposing that Thanksgiving Day be also National Vegetarian Day. It's an excellent day to do options. I rescued a chicken. Let me tell you about that before we launch into the next section, actually. I was going to say change boats in midstream, but I'm terrible on the sea. If anyone's ever gone out to the boat with me, gone out sailing, or in my case, generally rowboating, you know that you're lucky to make it back alive. I'm not safe on the sea. I've had several near-death sea experiences, or near-sea death experiences, as obviously a death from the sea is a specific death within itself, and I've had two. The sea has almost eaten me up alive twice. So when I say I'm happy to be alive, folks, I know what I'm talking about. These aren't just words, although they are. They're both. Takes care of both things. Feeding two dogs with one bone, as we like to say. It's Radio Free Brooklyn, and the show is called Thought Patterns. So here's what happened. I was walking, as people are prone to do, in Ridgewood. It's a neighborhood next to Bushwick. It's officially in Queens. It's the Queens-Brooklyn border. You can do them both you can hit both boroughs in 12 seconds. Doop, doop, back and forth across the street. I've done it. It's just the way my route works itself out. So I was by a graveyard. And what I was doing by a graveyard, I'm not going to describe, because that's part of the story that, sometimes they say the best candidate for the job of descriptor is the imagination. So I'm going to let the imagination speak for itself in its own particular case within your situation as to answer the question as to why I was walking by a graveyard. I'm going to let you answer that for yourself. And chances are you're going to be wrong unless you know me really well, and then you'll know what the heck I was doing up there. Unfortunately. Nah, it's reality. Okay, you'll know what I was doing up there. In reality, press laugh button here. Okay. I was in Ridgewood taking a walk, and I looked through the steel bars that separate the sidewalk from the cemetery, and right there by the bars was a chicken, a live chicken. He was white. Apparently he's a rooster, as he had the cock-a-doodle-doo on his head, whatever that thing is called. And I do have some experience with bird rescue, as I've talked about on previous episodes of Thought Patterns, and I do know what to do. So if two bird rescuers both find a bird at the same time, there's a good chance they're going to disagree on the protocol. And because, as when you rescue a bird, or I guess any animal, and this isn't some, you know, I'm not going off script here, although I am for a second. When you rescue an animal, you're actually, we know this, you know where this is going. When you rescue an animal, you're actually just rescuing part of yourself, of course. And so there the chicken was through the gate, and the gates are only about 6 inches or so separated with bars, just big enough to reach in, and just big enough, or so I thought, and it was just wide enough to pull a chicken through. So I said, okay, I have one chance to grab this chicken. I put what I was holding down on the ground and put my foot over what I was holding down. I'm also going to not tell you what I was holding and putting down on the ground. You'll A, have to use your imagination. B, who those who know me know that was my reality of what I was putting down. Nothing wrong with it. I just feel like telling the story like this. Okay. It's my choice. It's my show. On Radio Free Brooklyn, Thought Patterns. We're here the first Sunday of every month. This is our 7th episode. I knew that I had one chance to get that chicken. I don't know why I knew it, that I had the one chance, but sometimes animal rescue just sort of goes that way. Not that I'm a huge, have huge experience in it, but I guess I've rescued a few number of birds at this point and, you know, over the years. So I felt comfortable with the situation. I had one chance to grab this bird. I reached in, I did the two-hand reach. I said, I'm going to have to do a two-hand grab with this chicken, like one hand on one wing, one hand on the other wing. It's the only way to get this chicken through in one shot, because that's all that I had, according to myself. I reached in with the two-hand grabs, but basically the two-hand take, because grab is kind of a bossy kind of word. It was the two-hand take. Sorry, where's the laugh button? Okay. It's a two-hand take. So I reached in with the two hands. Boom, same time. Wing, wing. Got him. Pull through. Got him. Pulled him to my chest. I have him. I held him to my chest. The chicken. Just in case I forget this part, the chicken, I named him Ronaldo Montero Gonzalez. Rolando. I'm sorry. Rolando Montero Gonzalez, or Marchiero. Rolando Marchiero Gonzalez. He has 6 names at this point, and that's a lot for a chicken. I understand. I'll cut to the end of the story here very, very quickly, because why not? This is, and then we'll go on with the big presentation of the rest of the show. Okay, I'm just going to skip right to the end of the story now, because it's going to actually end up. The end of the story is going to help wrap up the side end of the story that I just started, the part about his name. Okay, I'm not going to tell just the end of it. I'm going to quickly tell the rest of the story. Okay. So I got the bird. I put the bird in an appropriate box and took him up to the Wild Bird Fund, which I've talked about on the show before. The Wild Bird Fund, located at 87th, between 88th and 87th on Columbus, uptown, Upper West Side, uptown. The Wild Bird Fund. If you find a bird, put the bird in a box, take the bird to the Wild Bird Fund. Slip them 20 or 40 bucks, because they are kind of the Wild Bird Mafia. You know, it is a pay-to-play thing, like Hillary. So the Wild Bird Fund says, slip them 40 bucks. Your bird will get a name and get superior care from, what's the lady up at the Wild Bird Fund? Oh gosh, someone help me. There's no one in here. At the Wild Bird Fund, what's the name of the lady up there? Oh God, everyone's like screaming it out now on their computers. Anyways, you go to the Wild Bird Fund and you get your bird taken care of. So I took the bird in the box. They named the bird. Of course, I said, the bird's name is Rolando Marchiero Gonzalez. And I said, we're going to name him Jason. For those of you who are new to the show, that's my name, because that's their MO, to name the rescued bird after the name of the owner. So they named the bird Jason. That's fine. You know, you only have so much room on the form, I suppose. So sure enough, the bird was in very good health, and some seed was involved, and maybe the bird even spent the night at my house. I'm not sure, even the night before. So, you know, we had a good time. We had a nice experience with the bird. There are some pictures up on my Facebook page of me and the chicken when his name was Rolando, before his name was Jason. And then quickly after he was in the Wild Bird Fund, after about a week of rehab, which he really didn't even need, apparently, His problem wasn't that bad. So he was adopted very quickly by some fellows at the Tamerlane Farms Animal Rescue Sanctuary, Tamerlane Farms in New Jersey. They rescued I had to take the chicken to a vegan pop-up. Just coincidence, it works out that way when you're on the scene, I guess. And then they took him to the animal sanctuary, and he is wild and free. And so just as a backstory to the backstory, he most likely, Rolando Marchiero Gonzalez, the chicken, Jason, as he's now known at this current mid rehab phase, most likely, according to all sources, according to all reliable sources, most likely Rolando Marchiero Gonzalez, the chicken, escaped from that horrible live chicken slaughterhouse that's in Bushwick, or actually, I guess, right on the Bushwick Ridgewood border, as we talked about earlier, Brooklyn and Queens, for those of you who are listening from out of town. And the, I keep veering off the mic here. I'm aware of that. Rita is the Wild Bird Fund. Rita at the Wild Bird Fund. Okay, Rita. Okay. So, she's famous. Almost famous enough to remember her name very quickly. I'll get it next time. Oh me, oh my. Thought Patterns with Jason Trachtenberg. He most likely, the chicken, Rolando Marchiero Gonzalez, escaped from the horrible slaughterhouse. It's a pollo. That means chicken, I believe. On Star Street, and the place reeks of death. Can I say that on the radio? Let me see, where's the FCC? Okay, yeah, it's okay. The place reeks of death. You can feel the aroma in the air a block away, a long block, not a short one. That's horrid. Anyway, somehow, my main man, Rolando, the chicken, escaped from there and made his way about three blocks further away to the graveyard cemetery where I found him. Let me take two steps back, if that's okay. It's called the chicken step. I'm going to take two steps back here. One is, we know that he escaped from the live poultry slaughter facility. They do poultry, and they do other birds as well, too. Any kind of bird that smells horrible. Because he had his beak severed, which, you know, those, even mainstream, you know, folks know that that's what they do. Nothing against mainstream folks. Okay, no, I wasn't saying it like that. But, you know, people who pay, you know, who when they choose to watch videos at night, watch videos about their favorite peanut butter plant, like I do, you know, things like that, or you know, who would watch, you know, animal rights kind of videos. So you know, one of the things you learn in the animal rights, you know, it's when the early pictures that you're shown in your early exposure to this, which is yours, meaning mine, meaning everyone, because, you know, the outreach was so strong that it got me as a teenager. I would say out of nowhere. Da 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 ba 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 dum. Ba da ba ba da bum, ba 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 dum, ba 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 da bum, ba da ba 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 bum, ba da la bum, ba 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 bum, ba ba dum ba ba da ba da la ba da la da ba 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 ba. Ba 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 da ba 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 da ba ba da ba 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 da ba 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 da ba da da ba da ba da 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 ba da ba da ba ba da. So out of nowhere, the chicken went from the graveyard. I'm sorry, he went from the slaughterhouse to the graveyard to a place called the Pine Box Rock Shop, where I met the fellow from Tamerlane Farms, and the chicken is happy and has a safe new home. And they named the chicken, and this is the final part of the story, which is now going on 14 minutes long, with a quick musical intermission that came out of nowhere right there. They named him JP. And I'm not going to tell you why they named him JP, because I'm not into doing like mainstream cultural stuff on my show, but it's like a cultural reference. Although, two notes is one, JP is a friend of mine who lives in the neighborhood. And then J capital, pure P capital is shortened for Japan. J capital P, like USA is for United States of America. JP. and my friend JP and my chicken JP. JP. But folks, let me set the stage again here real quickly here. Let me set the stage. Where's my tea? Hold on 1 second. Where is my tea? 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 I'm not sure where my tea is. Oh, it's my tea. Okay. As you know, at this part of the show, we take a little bit of a tea break. We take a tea break where we open up our tea far away from the console. It's far away from the console. We open up our tea. Can you hear the lid coming off the tea? It's a very sensitive microphone. And then I take a little sip of tea. So if anyone would like to join me right now, if you have tea with you, let's have a sip of tea on the air loudly. That is delicious. For those of you who know me, know that this is Earl Grey in a, once again, nut butter jar, my favorite nut butter company that I Google it at night. I Google nut butter companies. That this is my this is my favorite peanut butter, and it's Earl Grey with a little bit of milk alternative, soy milk in this case, which is fine. Delicious. Okay, let's continue. Thank you for the tea break. That's a big part of my show. It's a big part of my day. And I'm really pleased to be able to be a tea drinker, to be a teetotaler. You know, I really like tea. That's an understatement. I love tea. I love tea. Can I turn this microphone up a little bit? Hold on. Pushing buttons. Okay. Okay. So what we have generated here on Thought Patterns with Jason Trachtenberg here on Radio Free Brooklyn, recently we have generated a bit of a buzz with a major new announcement on the American diet scene. The American diet scene is one of the most lucrative industries in America, the American diet scene, because in America, everyone eats a lot and then needs to go on a diet. And it's a pretty simple business plan, and I'm glad to be actually on both ends of it. Pretty simple. I'm a smart businessman, right? Okay. As you know, if you've listened to the show before, you know what I'm about to talk about here, and it's something that's generating a lot of excitement on Thought Patterns and within the natural health community, and that is, of course, the Kaleo diet. The Kaleo diet. Yes, are you sitting down? The Kaleo diet is to incorporate kale, be it the green curly kind, Lacinato, which is also called dinosaur kale, either kind of kale. Maybe there's a third kind, but if anyone knows of a third kind of kale, please let me know. My email is thependulumswings@yahoo.com, thependulumswings@yahoo.com. And if there's a third kind of kale besides green curly or Lacinato, also known as dinosaur kale, please let me know if there's a third kind so I can add that to the Kaleo diet. The Kaleo diet, when you follow the protocols of the Kaleo diet, you, meaning me, meaning you, meaning us, we incorporate kale into all three of our daily meals, or in my case, all four of my daily meals. That's the Kaleo diet. For example, you, meaning we, okay, that's right, they, add 3 to 5 huge leaves of kale to your morning smoothie, blended so much so that you can't even taste the kale. Not that that's a bad thing, but it's just one less, you know, kale situation going on in your day, because it's going to be a day filled with kale. So kind of the less you have to think about it, the better it is. This is from someone who does the Kaleo diet. I'm doing something I don't want to think about. And that's tricky, folks. You try that sometime. Then for lunch, a kale salad topped with anything, such as avocado, tomato, seasonal peppers, sweet peppers, seasonal if you can find them, local cucumbers if you can find it local. I know it's a little tricky. I know cucumbers, carrots, of course, are always there. Quick note about carrots. I heard this recently, and then we'll get back to the Kaleo diet. So carrots are everyone picture, you know, audio visual aids, picture a carrot, but at this point picture what the original color of the carrot was, and that was purple. The original color of the carrot was purple, and now, of course, you can still find purple varieties at different farmers markets, at health food co-ops. And I've I don't want to get all serious on everyone here today on Thought Patterns, but I seriously prefer the taste of the purple carrot. Though, I'm breaking down the fourth wall here for a second, and that's okay. I seriously don't prefer the taste of purple cabbage. I like green cabbage. I don't like purple cabbage. All right? Sorry to break the news. Sorry to burst everyone's bubble. So let's just put it this way. Okay. If I do come to your house for dinner, and you want to make me something, and you do make a purple cabbage soup, if you make a soup or something, I will love it, and I will love the purple cabbage. That's fine. It'll be delicious, and I won't disparage the cabbage. I won't disparage the cabbage. God, I got to step away from the microphone for a second. I'm sorry. Oh my God. Okay. Let me just say that one more time. I will not disparage your cabbage under any circumstance. I will love the purple cabbage. But for my own personal cooking, I like green cabbage. Steamed green cabbage is but when it comes to carrots, here's an interesting fact about carrots. As we noted a few minutes ago, the original color of the carrot was purple, right? Then, around 1400 AD, there was a royal family, I believe somewhere in the Scottish or United Kingdom or someone's territories, that it was a family, and this is kind of ironic given today's current political, very, very moment, up to the moment political situation. There was a family, a royal family called the Orange family. Maybe that was their last name. Maybe they grew oranges, but that was their, you know how like they have like bushes now or what have you. So the royal family was the Orange family, the oranges. That's fine. You know, nothing. So what happened was, yep, they, either they insisted or they just persisted or it was, re-entwisted that they needed, that the need was there to make carrots orange, you know, because it's the Orange family. Or someone was like, oh, I'm going to honor the Orange royal family and I am going to, just taking your time and picking out the more orange of the purple carrots and the orange, you know, and making, you know, the purple orange baby carrots and take two carrots and they make baby carrots, right? And they probably within a couple of years, maybe even less, depending on how much time you put into it. You know, he didn't have any internet then, so I'm sure he's putting a lot of time into the thing. He made the carrots orange. And then sure enough, that was the way carrots became. And of course, sure enough, you know where I'm going with this, folks, if you've listened to the show before, sure enough know that orange carrots have... Is it the word infinitely? That means a lot. Infinitesimally less nutrition than their purple carrot partner carrots. Once again, in spoken as a normal sentence with words, orange carrots are less have less nutrition have less nu- okay. Orange carrots have less nutritional value than purple carrots by possibly a 3-to-1 amount. And I say it might even be 10-to-1, given the nature of the disparity of the tone of the color, because the tone of the color, the darker dictates, in most cases, the higher level of nutritional value. In most cases. That being said, can I go off script for a second? I don't like purple potatoes. I don't know why, and I'm sure they're great on the nutrition, but I love Yukon Gold. And I like russet, because, you know, why not, right? And of course, for all of you who listen to my show today, please, if you're going to take one thing away from my show, please, and I say this to the people who I love the most, please do not peel the skin off of the potato. Please do not do that. And while I'm talking right now to you, which is anyone, trust me, it's not to anyone in particular, trust me, because I know, please. Do not leave. If you should peel the potato, and hopefully you haven't, please do not leave the potato peels in the sink for me to deal with. Please. That's all I ask. Otherwise, I'm ready to dedicate my life to my situation and my family and my work and the work of everyone else that I know and support them. If a potato is peeled, I will appreciate that as well too, for what it is. Because you peeled it. Okay. Okay. Can I take another tea break? Okay, I'm gonna take another tea break. I'm asking myself questions. Hold on one second. It's gonna be a loud one too. Oh God, that's good. Oh, this light on the air broke. Oh, this lid is not coming. Listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. It's radiofreebrooklyn.com. The show's called Thought Patterns. My name is Jason Trachtenberg. I'm the host here the first Sunday of every month. And I like doing the... I have a couple new songs I'm working on. I'm so excited about them. There's like... I guess two or three. I don't even know. And then there's three or four other ones. And all I want to do right now is not let everyone down and see these songs through and make sure everyone gets all of their projects done too and help them in every way that I can do within my skill set, which I have, which is very specific and very helpful when it's applied correctly. And I'm seriously not thinking about money or anything like that at all. And that was the last thing I'm thinking. Well, okay. art comes first, and then anything else, and then more stuff after that. You know, more, and then the money stuff always seems to take care of itself. I don't even know how that happens. I don't know if it's like that for you, or am I the only one? You know, and it obviously takes care of itself in a weird way. You know, those of you who know my situation know that. You know, there's definitely some ups and downs and all that. I'm just talking financially right now. That's the part we think about most. It really is. I'm gonna quickly get back into the Kaleo diet. I just want to finish that up. So basically, just to recap here, Thought Patterns, Radio Free Brooklyn, is that we as a new diet. You know how they have different diets out there. I can't really. You know, the Atkins diet is one. The paleo diet, from which I did a play on words for the Kaleo diet. It's true. The paleo diet's one. The raw food diet's one too. I don't recommend the raw food diet. I really don't. I really, it's like, you know who talks like that? I'm gonna do a little, cause I'm now in the radio business. You know who talks like that? Which New York personality would say this on the air? Okay. For those of you listening to New York radio, What New York radio personality talks like this? Okay, here we go. I don't do the raw diet. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in it. It doesn't work. I don't believe in it. No, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. No, raw diet doesn't work. Doesn't work. I don't believe in it. Does not work. Okay, which New York radio personality would say that? That's right, Mike Francesa. Jesus Christ, this guy. Oh my God. I can't believe if they let this guy so I listen to the radio because I'm a professional radio person, regardless of what happened a few minutes ago. I'm professional, okay? And I do listen to, I've listened to radio my entire life, not my entire adult life. I know you thought I was going to say that. No. I listen to radio, I remember my earliest radio memories. Specifically, was two pieces of music in particular. My earliest musical memory was the song "Sunshine on My Shoulders," also known as, is that Annie's song? No, Annie's song is "You Fill Up My Sunshine on My." No, that was. I'm sorry, I get those two songs mixed up. I think he wrote those on the same day. Anyway, it was one of those two John Denver songs. And then my other first musical memory was 1976. It was a big hit. It was the hit of the summer, of course, was Silly Love Songs by Paul McCartney. It was the independent summer, 1976. in not too far from Philadelphia. So it was a big deal. I was in Harrisburg at the time. And so that I remember that musical memory from the radio. And then I used to listen to Top 40, I guess it was Dick Clark or Casey Kasem, whichever one would do the Top 40 on the radio. I think they both had radio shows on. Even Top 100 sometimes. You actually had time to do things like that, to listen to the Top 100 songs. And can I just go off script for a second? Most of them were really good. 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, even into 81, 82. Okay, and 83, there's still something, right? There's still some purpose. I can't say any number higher than, I can't in good faith say a higher number than 83. That's the highest number I can say as far as what the Top 40 had before I think it became more business and less show, 3 years into the 80s or so. But even 81, it was already tailing off, and there were already holes in the fabric as far as music losing meaning, music losing purpose, and it being a commodity to be commodified, more so by a certain demographic, more so than seriously, I'm kind of cliche, whatever, a 3 minute love bullet, something of explosion of a higher level of artistic expression. The perfect pop song is the highest level of artistic expression. I may change that at some point, but at this point, I'll say it again. The perfect pop song is the highest level of artistic expression as far as its impact on the consciousness and how you can react to art. No painting could do that. I don't get in trouble. No anything could do that. No poem could do that. Nothing like the perfect pop song with pristine production. Nothing can top that. And a high point of that, a high was 77, 78, 79, 80. I also listened to Larry King on the radio before I knew what he looked like. I knew him obviously as a radio guy, and he had the talk show, and I listened every single night. I'm sure there was local stuff too. I was mostly in Seattle, Washington at the time. This was 77, 78, 79. I also listened to The Games on the radio pretty regularly. I listened to the Seattle Mariners games, 1977, 78, Seattle Sonics, 77, 78, 79, when they won the championship as well, on the radio. I listened to the radio every night. I'm a radio guy. And then when people started doing TV, remember when they started doing TV? I should say, when TV became the one and only mechanism, especially in the 80s, I still do the radio as a thing, while driving. Mostly classic rock, oldies, the Station of the Stars, Kixie, 880, hits of the 40s, 50s, and early 60s, pre-rock, where Glenn Campbell was considered hard rock, was the nature of these kind of stations. It was important to me, the radio. And then in the 90s, I did listen to, I guess it's a little cliche, but I listened to a lot of Howard Stern when he was on the radio, and I listened to Art Bell as well, too, coast to coast at night. It was very scary. Then, of course, my main radio influence, who I've mentioned many, many times, those of you who know me and know, listen to me talk for, hang out with me for a few minutes, know I'm pretty much going to mention this guy, Gary Null. And he's a professional radio broadcaster. He's been broadcasting for 40 years, mostly on the Pacifica Network and on WBAI. And I admire his radio show and the way he brings, I'm not kidding you when I say 15 to 20 topics in the course of 1 hour. So I often fashion my show off on that as far as, when I do more topics sort of stuff, I do like a similar to what he does. There's like a health segment. There's a nutrition segment. There's a political segment. In my case, I do sports, weather, and traffic together on the fours, which is coming up here pretty soon. Okay. So that's something to look forward to. And I still listen to the radio now. I listen to the radio as part of my day routine I have a day employment situation that I do to meet my ends, to make my ends meet. I do this day situation. It involves a lot of exercise. And yes, it is what you think. Mm-hmm. That's right. I get paid to work out. Okay. Anyway. And so... So I listen to the radio when I work out because it's like 8 hours of working out, and you know that's enough for anyone. So I listen to the what do I listen to now? All right, I listen to Mike Francesa, and I listen to oldies and classic rock, whatever the heck that means anymore. Basically, means like the top 40 stuff I'd already tuned out of by the time I had checked out of society in about 82 or 83. I checked out in 82 or 83. I signed out. The thing was, I didn't know what I was signing into. I didn't know about alternative health, alternative media, anything different than the 2.5 political party system, human rights, social movements, silenced messages. You know, I knew there was something else out there, but I didn't know what it was. And then come 82 or 83. I said, I am not trusting your mainstream smorgasbord anymore. Your entertainment that you're serving me, I don't trust it. I don't trust that it's there to help me and help the world. Like, it, at least in my opinion, it felt like there was some purpose to entertainment and you know, to movies and to music and to media since the advent of music, movies and media and at their specific inception start times up until in 1981, 82, you know, I know those who would say it was always hunkajunk or always corrupt. And I think it probably was, as well, but at least the art came out of it, was purposeful. And the music was beyond beautiful. That was an understatement as to the quality of art, music work that was coming out, that was being produced pre Ray Gun. No, I mean, you know, those of you who know, it felt like the end of the world, and when Reagan got elected, and that's why, at least, you know, with a lot of the information coming through with you know, the most recent upcoming election that is going down in a couple of days here, that I think it all comes down to 1980. You know, that was the unflappable one for me. Maybe others, obviously, of course, when they assassinate the leading candidate, you know, in 64 and 68 with Kennedy, and you know, that changes the race as well too. But I didn't, you know, at least from my perspective as a conscious political observer, 1980 was the turning point, and I feel this is all just an extension of that. So I guess obviously, as I've said before, those of you, I did actually endorse Trump earlier. So I'm taking back that endorsement if that's okay with everyone. I was on a little bit of a Trump thing for a while. It was when I was convinced that Hillary was having seizure attacks. I was convinced that she had a seizure problem, and I thought Trump would be a more stable candidate. Those are my choices. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But I'm retracting. I'm rescinding my offer to Trump. I'm taking back the endorsement because I still have time to change my vote. Not only am I voting 3 or 4 times in this election, like I usually do, I'm changing my vote several times because, you know what? That's the least of the improprieties that are going on right here. All right? That's the least of the improprieties. Damn it, I have a hard time saying that word. Fuck. All right. Sorry. Inappropriate. That's all that is. We're here on Radio Free Brooklyn. It's the show's called Thought Patterns. I'd like to, of course, before I forget, thank Tom Tenney and Robert Pritchard for having me on the show here. I'm getting ready for season 4. Looking forward to that. This was season 3. This was my first season on the air. I think I've gotten better at this. All right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Whoops. That was me bumping the mic. I think I've gotten a lot better at this. I think I have as well, too. So I'll tell you what, I have a couple more features segments, or as it's called, what are they called in New Orleans? I have a couple more parishes left of to do for you for the show today. The show coming on after me is Why Do We Only Listen to Dead People with Carol Gimble, one of everyone's favorite shows on the station, a very popular show. A very, very popular show. Or was this show on before? No, it was just after. Gosh. And there was supposed to be some guy here doing some sort of training. So probably to his advantage, he didn't come do turning on my show, because if so, he would learn how to do this. You know what it is if you've been listening. Good to the last drop. Oh! The piece I'd like to do... Let's try that again. All right. The show should be called Silly Thought Patterns with Jason Trachtenberg, because we just get so damn silly on this show. Oh my God. Do we get silly or do we get silly? We get silly. Oh, don't forget... Remind me. Will someone please send me an email? Please send me an email and remind me to do my famous honey mustard recipe next week, okay? Okay? I'm only going to ask once. Send me an email to thependulumswings@yahoo.com and remind me to do do my honey mustard recipe next month, I should say, next month. Just so everyone knows really quickly here. Oh, jeez. I just burped on the radio. Just so everyone knows real quickly here, I will not... be making the honey mustard in the studio, because that's a good way to lose your show. It's a damn good way to lose your show real fast, real fast. Okay, I have time for two more segments here on Thought Patterns with Jason Trachtenberg, and then we'll actually have a couple announcements from our sponsors as well, too. We have a couple new sponsors I'm pretty excited about, and we'll get to them momentarily. This is a piece I've been thinking about quite a bit lately. It's a piece about relationships and, you know, people knowing each other, meeting each other, and it's intriguing. It's an intriguing part of life, and obviously, the longer the better. You know, I'll just I think that's safe to say. And so, the piece I'd like to perform for you today on Thought Patterns is a piece about relationships, but not necessarily my relationships, not necessarily about me. The song's actually about me and several other people that I've just, or things I've overheard, conversations I've overheard, maybe conversations on the subway, people just talking, you know, things I've heard about. The thing that's, the song's actually a double life cycle as far as where it takes you. It's a literary roller coaster of life, middle, death, life, middle, death. It tells a story. About a situation of life as it is. The song is based on Johann Sebastian Bach's 147th concerto in the key of, let's say C major. It's easier that way. We all know that key. So this song is based on Johann Sebastian Bach's 147th concerto in C major. And thank you for listening in. It goes like this. Took a musical break, and the song is it's about relationships based on Bach's 147th concerto, and hit it. This is the tale of two people who needed each other. They meet one another by accident, maybe on purpose. It's hard to explain what the circumstance was. Some would call it coincidence. Others would think about their situations, unstable relations, and cordon off sensations. Reality hits and you find yourself pregnant with child. Of course, it's the child of God who's been sent from above. Save for the 3 minutes of love, but the funniest parts were the formal exchanges. I'll call you on Saturday, maybe the phone rings. I need a companion who understands everything. Now I'm a liar, I'm fronting for somebody's father. An infant who's deemed irresponsible, maybe it's possible. Perhaps the baby was... born with a reason, a mission, a function to satisfy someone. The mother completely and ever so neatly. And tricks be they treatly. And all those children's parties. The child has grown and is now an adult with adult responsibility, jobs, unemployment, economy crashes like waves, backwards lashes. The money is real, but in life hard to quantify. Splitting it even makes everything easy when selling on Etsy. I'm trying to simplify. Forces compel us to mock indiscriminately. Sheer interaction becomes a distraction from real life, which means more than computer screens. All these gadgets and gizmos we stare at for hours and hours, enforcing beliefs that we already knew. How much time do you do? How much time? As for me and my marriage, it's tricky but busy, yet filled with domestic bliss, animals, chores. My art aligns with yours. My art aligns with yours. What the difference is between fact and reality. Serious malady. Heartache and backache become interchangeable, maybe exchangeable. Health and nutrition became my religion through natural living and constant caregiving for those who may need. What I give, I'm receiving. The moral, of course, is to never veer off it and keep yourself clean from the destructive forces that penetrate progress and veer you off courses. The legend's been told, be it too many times, that the knock on conformity may be enormity, maybe some normalcy, maybe some reason, some rhyme, when it's me and my interests that come at the forefront of every discussion without repercussion, without interruption. I ask of this question, who is this lawyer who's down in the foyer? He suffered immunity, granted impunity, all for a lease that is signed in perpetuity. Where is my neighbor? She went into labor. Another new baby, I think it's a Christian, gave birth in the kitchen. I thank you for listening in. Slot Patterns with Jason Trachtenberg. I'm your host, Jason Trachtenberg. We're here on Radio Free Brooklyn, the first Sunday of every month. One of the favorite segments of the show is sports, weather, and traffic together on the fours. We're a few minutes off of that, but that's fine. For today's segment on sports, weather, and traffic together, I'm going to tell the tale of my involvement in organized basketball. That's right. That's right. I'm a bit of a mid-level athlete. For those of you who know me, I'm beyond beginner and in intermediate, but not quite at the third level yet, and certainly not the fourth level. The fourth level, oh gosh, okay. But I'm second level intermediate. I'm in intermediate level athlete, and actually getting better as the years go on. I did not run the marathon today because I don't have to. Because I run a effing marathon every single day, okay? Jesus Christ. Welcome to my world, people. Seriously. Seriously. You know, seriously. Come on. Try that. Just try it. Try it for one day. First off, you'll feel great, okay? If you try doing what I do for one day, you feel great. We'll talk. Right, you gotta like stick with me. You gotta stick around with me for all day. Right, you gotta hang out with me. You have to be with me all day long. You'll feel great. You better wear some comfortable shoes, really comfortable shoes. You better be prepared to snack on some things you may have never snacked on before. You may be prepared to give me some information as well too, because as I live, I learn. So I'm open. I live stuff every day, and I learn stuff my whole life. Every single day, I learn something every day. And even if I don't learn something, I learn that I can learn something every day. I just remember that. Because it's a tangible situation. You know, thought is a tangible. You can do a new one. You can think that that's a new one each day. I'm sorry, that was beyond confusing. Otherwise, I think I was keeping on the rail for most of the show. But let me tell you a little bit about my involvement in youth basketball. When I was in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grades, and I was 8, 9, and 10 years old, respectively, and I was a respectful kid, those who knew me, I participated in youth basketball. They teach us the fundamentals of the game with equal emphasis on both the fun and the mental, and equal emphasis on offense and defense, mostly defense. We develop skill sets and practice drills, like layup and rebounding. We'd have rebounding lanes, layup lanes. One team would, one lane would do the layups. They'd miss, and the other side would get the rebound, and they'd pass it to the other guy who'd miss the layup, and the other guy would get the rebound. Okay. And that was during practice. That's okay. Let me. I said I was gonna be positive today, so let's keep rolling. We practice the bounce pass, the chest pass, zone defense, zone offense, which is completely illegal, and zone defense, totally illegal. But it was legal back in 1978, which was good. Free throws and foul shots, we practice them both because you have to make both of them. That's the thing. First you make the free throw, then you make the foul shot, okay? Don't take that stuff for granted. There's no excuse to miss either one, okay? Our team practiced for hours, two or three times a week, for months on end. We had uniforms with numbers on the back. The first year, I was number 50. The second year, I was number 56. And oddly enough, I actually can't recall my uniform number from my third and final year of youth basketball. But because I live in a fantasy land, I'm going to say it was 11, because that's the number I always wanted. I wanted 11. But it was probably 53. Anyway, it was either one of those two numbers. Either it was a number 11 or 53. I'd say if you know, the deep level researchers who go into my past will probably dig up the fact that it was 53. But there'll be a whole other school of researchers who say that I actually wore 11 in my third season of youth basketball. I'm going with 11, you know, because that's how I want to remember it. In full disclosure, the year was 1980. Okay, the previous two seasons of our team, 1970, the 1978-79 season, and then the 1979-80 season, were memorable for successfully executed layup drills and a full season worth of games against more than comparable competition. The competition was more than up to our level. In other words, the other teams were always, let's just say, a little bit better and quite a bit taller than our team. I'm not sure if I mentioned this, but we were the 8 and 9 year old boys team representing the Jewish Community Center. And it's just a numbers game, put us at a bit of a height, at least for our team. I know, at that moment, put us at a bit of a height, a disadvantage against like the YMCAs and the other Catholic. It's just the way, I don't know the way it was. Let's just put it this way. Our team was so short. How short was it? Our team was so short that I was the power forward on the team. I was like the Lonnie Shelton, if that means anything to anyone. I was like the power forward, right? I was like 6'8", 250 pounds, comparatively, on our team. And those of you who know me know that just ain't who I am. You know, I think I'm actually more of a point guard. And even that's pushing it, right? So no, I was the power forward on the team. That's how short we were. The time frame, of course, was 1978, 1979, 1980. And this is important. Why? Because I talked about earlier, the music was so good, okay? Youth basketball, late 70s. I almost can't top that in my experiences in this lifetime. It was, well, let's continue. As I mentioned earlier, our team was on the short side, not in spirit, but in height. Let's just put it this way. I don't think we had a center. We just had a couple of, like, four guards and me, because I was not the center. That's just pushing it, okay? But we ran real plays and played real team basketball, unlike this modern basketball today. I don't even know what this game is today. I watched this game, and the game today does not even resemble the game that my youth basketball team played, as far as, and I'm talking about we personified or, spherified basketball with our teamwork. And everyone got a touch on the ball. And let's just put it this way, the point totals were generally distributed pretty equally. Like, I generally would get 4 points. The other leading scorer would probably get maybe 3 or 4 points, which is kind of where I'm going with this, is that although we had uniforms and we had set plays and really, really, really good competition who were much, much taller than we were, and they probably still are, actually, our team, despite all of these obstacles, would still get in the van, or maybe like the school bus, and we'd go and visit the neighboring town's team from the YMCAs, different youth groups, different schools. We had games in old church basements with hoops that I think were like 8.5 feet high. Somehow the other team could dunk. This guy's like 9 years old. Rec centers, parks. But the funny thing about our team was that although, shall we say we practiced religiously? we executed our set plays every time up and down the court, right? On offense and defense, we did our plays every time. It's not like things were falling apart. And our team, though, despite how functional we played as a team, right? We generally would, how can I say this? We generally would lose every game by scores such as, here's some of the final score tallies, as this is the sports segment of our show. We would lose, the final score of the games would generally be, YMCA 58, JCC 6, or St. George's Rosary 47, JCC 14. Those would be the kind of scores like that. That'd be a better night, actually. That'd be one of the closer games. This went on for 3 years. And although I left organized basketball with my dignity in 1980, and still to this day, sometimes go down to the neighborhood courts and shoot around with the guys a little bit, who are even taller now than they were back then, lately I've been shooting around with my daughter's boyfriend, Josh, who, I don't want to out him, but, hopefully he's listening. And actually, I have a major breaking announcement here on Thought Patterns with Jason Trachtenberg, a major breaking announcement from the world of sports. That let me just say this. So Josh is a wonderful young man. In full disclosure, he's 6'3" and has played organized basketball more recently than I have. He did not leave the game in 1980 under questionable circumstances. I'm sorry, with his dignity like I did. He actually, went on, definitely did high school, I'm sure. And he does the proper shot. He does, his wrist goes the right way and all that stuff. I just launch it, But somehow we're down at the courts shooting around, and let me just take a step back for a second. So he's 6'3", I'm 5'6", and so this would basically be the equivalent thereof. Would be, let's just put it this way, and would be, for example, if I was 6 or 7 inches, if he was 6 or 7 inches shorter and 15 or 18 years younger, then that would even out the playing field. But that was okay. So nonetheless, we did a game of horse, and those who know what horse is, know it's a game where you take turns back and forth, and you got to make the other cat's shot. And they got to make yours, and you have to make theirs. And if you don't, then you get letters, and the five letters spell horse. There's also pig. It's the quicker version. You don't have as much time. I only have a few minutes. So I got to do pig instead of horse. That's fine. Come on in. Hey, we're Radio Free Brooklyn. We're in the final moments of the show here, so I'm going to give you the major breaking sports announcement here momentarily. Hello, how are you? Look at you guys. So the major breaking announcement from the world of sports is that. I want you guys in on this. I defeated my daughter's boyfriend in horse, in basketball, soundly. And I'm just letting everyone know that I was in the zone. I could not miss a shot. It's just the way it is. I've been, and as noted before, I have a close to a 40-year career in basketball. It's longer than any active NBA player. I've been playing longer than any of them combined. 40 years. And counting. So I've got some experience, folks. Okay, it looks like we're in the last minute of our show here. It's 4:59. Let me just let everyone know that you've been listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. I don't believe I have any announcements to make of any variety. Anything going on with anyone, send me an email, thependulumswings@yahoo.com. It's Radio Free Brooklyn. The show's called Thought Patterns. We're here the first Sunday of every month, including this one. Yes, we are. The first Sunday of every month. And yes, I know, I was a little nervous. I got renewed for season 4. Thank gosh. Okay, my show got renewed. Of course. I don't know. It's a tough world. So hopefully I got the same time slot, because this time slot really works for me. Let me know if not. Otherwise, I'll be here next Sunday, the first Sunday of every month. Tune in to www.radiofreebrooklyn.com. One of the, according to the New York Times and other major media, one of the best internet radio stations in the world. Thought Patterns with Jason Trachtenberg. I'll see you guys next time. Thank you.